One, two, three, four, five,
six.
Oh yeah. Excellent.
Good one.
Good counting.
Awesome. We passed first grade.
Yay!
There's a tribe somewhere in I don't know, Brazil or something, and they only have words for one, two, and a lot. Or many.
That's awesome.
So it's like, hey, how much does this cow cost? A lot. All right, here's three leaves. Sweet, thanks.
Awesome.
Let's see, all right. So we were talking about that Google letter I got.
Yeah. What's up with that mess?
I came downstairs, almost shat my pants, saw this letter with the Google logo. I was like, oh, they're onto me. Oh, shit.
Like a real letter, like a physical letter.
Yeah, actual physical letter.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. But it was just some advertisement, because I have an AdSense account. And they sent me a letter for the AdWords service. I'm not sure what it does exactly, actually, but you can distribute ads via Google to lots of companies and on the search engine results page, I think. So they sent me a letter that had a coupon for like $50, so I could sign up and I'd have $50 free credit, get started. But of course, signing up costs $5, so I was like, eh. Never mind.
No.
It's fine. I'd never use it anyway. It's not really useful, but whatever.
Why do you need Google to do your ads?
It's kind of dumb. I got Project Wonderful that's working out fine for me, so I don't need to pay $20 a month for some dumb service.
Great. I have no ads anywhere ever.
Cool.
Great.
Good job.
Thank you. Took a whole life of hard work and shit. Fuck you.
Yeah, no, I haven't advertised in a while. I used to run a couple of banner ads through Project Wonderful on a couple of other webcomic sites, but you know, it's not really that useful. But whatever.
I know. I guess it could work, but it should be on the right, like, site. And I'm
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. But I make more money than I really spend on that advertisement. I've still got those boxes up on my Diner Date site, which has been like dead for a year and a half now. And there's still ads rolling in every now and then. So,
asking you, I want ads on your.
No,
shit.
I think how it works is that because you can just go through the Project Wonderful website and subscribe there. So I think they search the directory for like webcomic sites and cheap webcomic ad slots, and they just dump their ads in there. They don't care which site it actually is.
I don't see one, actually. It just says
no,
ads.
No, is it blank right now?
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a look. I'll log into my Project Wonderful for a second. I'll look at that.
Okay. Why can't I... If I press middle mouse button on your website, my scroll bar goes to the left.
What?
I try to press Predator Art, but then it slides to the left. It's like, no, you're not. Control-click works. It's raining again. Oh, right on my laptop and shit.
No.
Damn it. I hate you. I hate the Dutch weather.
Let's see. Yeah, there's no bids going on right now. It's just random stuff that like runs for a day. Sometimes it's like for some weird tea shop or something. You can shop for tea online. But most of the time, it's actual web comics. Let's take a look at my funds here.
You've got $1 million waiting for you.
Awesome.
Just send me the 10%, and you'll be golden. Awesome.
Let's see, I got $24.57 right now. So that's pretty good.
And how much is that, like, in number of advertisers?
That's a good question.
Jesus, it's raining in here.
It's usually like per bit, it's only like it brings in 10 cents. So I've had quite a few bids, as you can imagine, getting up to $25 now.
Sweet.
It's been running for like a year and a half. Sometimes I get an email to approve something, and I'm like, oh yeah, it's fine. Just give me money. That's cool.
My website's dead, but I don't care. Give me the money.
I really have to start working on that sometime soon again, but somehow it's just not happening.
Aren't you working on like creating a backlog? Well, not the backlog. Yeah. What's well,
yeah? No, backlog is good.
Okay.
So a sort of buffer.
Yeah.
If you will. But yeah, I'm having more fun writing the strips actually than drawing them. I don't really feel like drawing them so much.
Stick figures.
Yeah, that'd be a good way to go.
Awesome.
Yeah. It might help, I think, because sometimes it gets really complex in some panels. I'm like, eh, this is too hard. I want to do something else.
You need something to fix that.
Yeah. I'm trying to make it less ambitious, but I don't know, I'm just a perfectionist. I can't put shit out there.
Well, that sucks. Whoa. My face, it's
alright. Well, anyway.
What the fuck we doing?
Yeah, let's start this fucking show. Let's have a look. Topics here.
What?
Alright.
Do we have topics? What do we got?
Yeah, we'll just wing it. Alright, let's go.
Alright.
Hey, you're listening to Might Be Creative, episode... Fuck if I know. Four? Maybe four?
I guess. I think
well,
you are correct.
Four. It's been a while. It's been a while.
Yeah, we missed another week, maybe.
Yep.
Two.
I saw it coming. I told you in the show notes, it's a hollow promise that we put a show out next week.
We did.
And it's true.
Mm.
Well, but we're here now, so that's what counts. All right. Let's get started. This week, like we said, we're going to talk about Call of Juarez 2, Bound in Blood.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's... safe to say, so far, it's our game of 2009.
Of that, you are correct.
Sweet. All right, well, show over. Good night. No, all right, let's break it down. Let's see why we like this game so much.
Yes.
Well, as you might know, it's a sequel to, I don't know, when the first part came out?
2006.
2006, all right. First Call of Juarez, first game by Techland, or at least I think that was their first game. It's pretty good. But it was, no, wasn't it?
No, they did some other stuff. They made something called Chrome, which was basically their first engine.
Oh, yeah.
And now, Call of Juarez 1 was Chrome 3, and the new one is Chrome 4.
Sweet.
Which is a pretty awesome engine.
Yeah, they polished it up pretty good. The first one was already pretty impressive, but a little unpolished.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say with this one, they got it all right.
I was surprised how good Call of War S1 still looked. And how shit it ran.
Yeah, I remember it running terribly on higher resolutions.
Yep, I tried to run it on DirectX 10 on this laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the loading time is like literally 5 minutes.
Boo. Really?
It's insane. And on DirectX 9 it's like 10 seconds. So I was like, okay, goodbye DirectX 10.
Never mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it really that much of an improvement?
No.
Yeah. Just
they changed some shaders and stuff. Makes it all look a little more fancy, but...
Yeah. Little softer effects on water or sparkles or something.
Yeah.
Nothing too interesting.
Exactly. And I actually played that again after I finished Call of War S1. And if you are going to play the Call of War S series... Be sure to play the second one first.
Yeah.
Because I played the first one and it's like, oh, the entire plot of the second game is being explained here. Oh. I was glad I completely forgot.
Does it really make sense, fit together?
Yeah, actually, yeah. Perfectly, yeah. Actually.
That's cool.
But for some... Do you remember in Call of War S1, the reason why Ray is chasing Billy is because his brother died?
Yeah.
And the brother being Thomas. And Thomas being a complete dick, as Billy says in the first game. But we do not know why he's such a dick.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's material for Call of War 3.
Maybe. But
some sort of... DLC pack or something. That would be pretty cool.
It's possible. I think they are releasing some single player content.
Yeah, there's an option in the menu for that, but I haven't seen any announcements or anything for that yet.
I think they are working on some stuff.
Right. Would be pretty cool.
Would be cool.
Certainly. We need more.
We need more.
It's so cool. Alright, so let's talk about what makes it so cool. It's a prequel to the first game, obviously, and you can play as either Ray or Thomas. Which one do you play more?
Actually, I thought I'd play Thomas for most of the time, because he was a sneakier and long-distance guy with his rifles and bow and that kind of stuff.
Right.
But that didn't turn out to be so. I played Ray alone. Taking dual pistols and running in and shooting shit.
The dual pistols are pretty awesome.
It was, yeah, I don't know. It was, for some reason, I thought it was more fun than playing Thomas.
Yeah, it's a little more run and gun style, not so tactical and careful.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause when you get up close to enemies, you get sort of an auto aim as well.
Yeah.
Which is very useful.
It's actually... I thought it might suck, but actually it's really good. If you play as Ray, as I did, and you run in somewhere, you want to go like, I don't know, you run in, you kill everyone. But if you would need to do that with just your normal aim, with just your mouse, that would be hard as balls. So
yeah.
Now you can totally suck and still feel like, wow, I'm awesome.
Yeah. You just bust in and run around, shoot everybody, and you'll survive.
Yeah. And it's not rare. That much that if you really suck, it helps.
Yeah.
But even if you're good, it feels fine. It doesn't feel overly powerful.
Yeah. It's a good tweak. Because it's not all the time. It's just when you get up close.
Yeah.
That's very useful. Well, I don't know. At first, I played a lot of Ray. Then I... stuck with Thomas for a long time because I wanted to get the prime rangers for him too. And I don't know, then I just sort of skipped between them, trying out different playing styles, because in some levels there's actually different paths for the two brothers, because Thomas can climb up shit and use his whip to do all sorts of cool stuff and rake and kick open doors, that kind of stuff. So they have to help each other out sometimes, or then they get separated and then you take a different path, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's not lame, like they just swap the player model and you still travel the same path, just with a different brother. It's actually a totally different part of the level.
Yeah. But in some cases, it's
yeah,
just
it's
that.
Yeah, it's not all the time.
But
yeah,
it's good enough. Like in the first level, one of the brothers is riding like a stagecoach, and the other one is shooting. Yeah. And if you're the other guy, you're always shooting. So that stays the same, but
it's
kind of hard to switch around. But whatever. Because
that'd be really difficult.
That scene is pretty awesome, by the way. So what's the story of Call of Juarez?
Well, it stars Ray and Thomas, these two brothers. Ray we know from the first game, and their little brother William, who is a priest and also an annoying asshole. But it starts in the Civil War, right? They Ray and Thomas fighting for the South, I think.
Yeah, for the Confederate Army.
Yes, and then they get betrayed and left behind in the trenches, and they turn against the army and become outlaws.
Yeah, because their house is in the way of the enemy forces. If they advance even more, their house will be taken over.
Yeah,
and they're like, well, no, fuck that crap. So they desert, and they're outlaws.
Yeah, and then they start this epic journey across the West to, I don't know what they're looking for, actually. Were they looking for the treasure of Juarez from the start? I don't remember.
They were like, oh, shit, our house is burned down and stuff, and now everyone hates us, we need to leave. We can go to Mexico. And
all right, they were on their way to Mexico, and then they ran into Juarez, the man, not to be confused with the town or the treasure.
The Juan Mendoza is his name.
Yeah,
what he called, his real name. But his friends call him Juarez.
Juarez, awesome guy. And first they run into his girlfriend. It's what's her name again?
Melissa.
What's her face? Melissa? I don't think so. It's not a very Mexican
name. No, I know, but her name, I think...
Marisa, was it?
Marisa, yeah.
Yes.
That's better.
Yeah. She's being harassed in a bar, and of course they want to try to save her and eventually bang her, but she belongs to Juarez, so they start working for him, doing, mercenary stuff, trying to win over the girl, and... this results in a lot of heartbreak and misery in the end, of course.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, that's what's best. No, they let's see what happens then. Juarez is also looking for the treasure, I believe. And then there's a sort of weird tie-in with the Indians who are also looking for it.
They got a medallion, which is the key to finding treasure of Juarez.
So they set out to first get the medallion and then find the treasure, and then the epic showdown follows, of course. I thought they kind of rushed the ending part. It wasn't like in the first game where you had to travel across Mexico and then you end up in the graveyard. You do the thing with the graves.
Yeah, exactly. That was really weird. It was like, hey, we're inside the tomb now. And we skipped all the part with the scary spiders and shit.
Yeah.
And the big caves.
There's sort of a gap there. There should have been another level in between or something, it feels like.
Maybe they will do that with the downloadable content. That's kind of weird.
Yeah. Could be.
It's like, done. Yeah. Also, the entire tomb is different from the first game.
Yeah, I think... In the opening cinematic for the last level, they run through the part where the final showdown was in the first part, with the big stack of coins that looks really square.
No. Actually, it isn't. It doesn't look anything like the first game. It's completely different.
Where the final showdown is with the spiraling steps and where the sand comes
exactly.
in.
Exactly. That's not in the first game.
That's new. Yeah, that's a new area.
But then again, they couldn't actually be in the same room because eventually it fills up with sand.
That's true. It's true.
So maybe there's another spot somewhere. Whatever.
Yeah,
I don't care.
I think the room where the showdown was in the first game was with the big stack of coins.
Yeah.
The part where they run through to get to the other room.
True.
Well, you only see it for like 5 seconds, but I think that was it.
True. It's odd.
Yeah. But it feels kind of rushed, but well.
What's also nice is that the House of Juarez, in which you are in the second game, is also in the first game.
Oh.
Do you remember where Molly was being held?
Vaguely.
Like in a pit in the ground.
Yeah.
You are there also in the second game. William's being kept there.
Oh, cool.
I recognized it and was like, oh shit.
Sweet.
I don't care, but not to spoil it, but in the second game, or in first game, so the sequel, you also have Juarez. So, big surprise, he doesn't die.
I remember that. I was like, isn't this guy in the other game as well? What is this?
He also looks quite different.
Hmm.
But in the second game, in every time you have a showdown, because in the first game, what you had was like a standard showdown, and you had your crosshair, and you would pull your mouse down, meaning you grab your gun, you pull it up again, and then you aim and you just shoot.
Yeah.
And it looks like complete crap, and it plays like crap.
Yeah.
And in the new game, what you do is keep your hand, you like see yourself from behind, and like from the neck down, and you can see your hand, and you need to hold your hand on your holster, or very close. And when the bell rings, you grab it, and you shoot the guy, which looks really awesome. Really,
it's great.
Filmish. And every time such a showdown happened, it would say, kill this guy, whatever the name is, the guy you're killing. But way at the end, when you have a showdown with Juarez, it says, defeat Juarez, and not kill Juarez, which I thought was really, really dumb. What? Then you're like, you played the first game, and why? Yeah. You need to kill him.
Know.
It doesn't matter that it says defeat him. It needs to be kill him, because that's what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Don't be so dumb.
Yeah, and then he falls into the water, and Ray's like, I don't have time to check my kill. I'm getting out of here. Like, no, shoot him again.
Damn it, I lost him. Whatever.
This pool, it's so deep, it's almost up to my knees. Jesus, can never find him.
He's gone. The sea took him.
Like some secret trap door under there.
Yeah, it's kind of dumb. But
yeah, ending was the best. But the rest of the game was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's a lot of different locations, a lot of diverse action.
Yeah. Lots of bugs. I love it.
That also. Tell the one about the stagecoach with the lagging gun.
Oh god, that was terrible. Like I said, we have the stagecoach, and you're inside it, and your brother's up front riding it. Also, what's really weird, when that happens, like the one riding the coach gets off and says to William, who's also there, you need to take the steering wheel. And he says, I never handled this many horses before, and whatever. So, supposedly, Ray and Thomas are both shooting the enemies. Which is not true, because you are the only one. And where Thomas or Ray is, I have no fucking idea. They're just gone, and not shooting them. So,
fucking I think smoking they... smoking a cigarette up there.
Yeah, just like they missed something. They were like, oh, no one will know. It's too hard to code or whatever. But what happens there is you're inside the stagecoach and it's going really fast. And then guys on horses are gaining up on you and trying to shoot you. But what happens is when they get close and you want to shoot them and you shoot, like the next frame, the bullet is being added, not the frame you're actually shooting. So yeah. What that means is that the muzzle flash is like at the point where you were the frame before.
Yeah, so it's like halfway across the stagecoach.
Yeah, so when you're shooting, the bullet doesn't come from your gun, but where you were in the last frame. So I was playing that as Thomas, and it was impossible. I could not shoot anyone. The bullet would keep hitting the door and not shoot through the window. So
yeah, terrible.
Game over. I couldn't play it. I played as Ray, and then, of course, I have a quick shooter, which,
right.
Big surprise, it shoots real fast. So then you're just like...
It works.
And then they're dead, so... I don't care. Also, in the beginning, you have a part where you're in the crop field, and there's a minigun, or not a minigun, but a chain gun shooting at you. Eventually, you kill it, and you need to take a horse. But what happened, for some reason, some dude shot one of the horses. So I got on one of the horses, and Ray wanted to try to get up on his dead horse, which, of course, is not possible. So what he did, he would walk to the place where the horse died, and he would walk around, like, stuck, reload, and some other shit happened. But I cannot care, to be honest.
No,
it's game-breaking moments, but I don't care, because the rest of the game is so good and plays so nice.
It's great.
I cannot remember last time I played a game, and I was like... This is awesome.
It's so great, yeah. Especially those there's two levels where you can free roam, where you just get dumped at some saloon or some gun shop, and you can take wanted posters and go out on missions for yourself. That's awesome. You can just gallop across the plains, across the desert.
Yeah, kill some bandits, protect some cows. Shoot some Indians for money. And with that money, you can buy better guns.
Mm. Yeah, because there's a range of guns you can buy. And almost every gun has, three or four upgrades, something like that.
Yeah.
You start out with the crappy, rusty gun, then the normal, then the awesome silver-plated one, and then the prime one is the gold gun.
Yeah. All right, that's the superb one. That's the gold one, and the prime one
right.
is the...
Prime is the
silver one. Also, you have that in multiplayer, did you know?
Yeah.
If you gain an amount of money, you can get better guns. But whatever, we'll talk it in a bit. But, I don't know. My combination always was Ranger and Quick Shooter. Best combo ever.
I don't know. The Quick Shooter wasn't as powerful as the Ranger, though.
That's true. That's why you have the Ranger. If they're too far away, you just shoot them.
True.
And if you're close enough, you blast the shit out of them with a Quick Shooter.
I had two Quick Shooters for Ray. I thought about buying the superb ones, but I like the silver ones better. They're prettier, they're shinier. So I kept those, two Rangers. And for Thomas, I had the Volcano Gun.
That one is great.
Yeah. It almost makes up for not having dual guns, because it has 24 bullets.
24?
Yes.
I thought 12, but...
Oh, 12, maybe. No, I was fantasizing if I had two volcano guns, then I'd have 24 bullets.
That would be cool. Did you know, by the way, that the volcano gun is the gun that Juarez wields in the first game?
Oh, really?
And what's also nice is the volcano gun in this one, you... put bullets for some reason in the front.
Yeah.
And in the second game, for some reason, it's like a newer version of that gun. You put them in your, in the holster, I guess? I'm not sure. Can't remember. But it's like there is a like an upgrade. Like, it really is 20 years later.
Oh, cool.
What's also nice is in the first game, Ray like picks up his old trusty irons, but they're totally not guns you ever find in the second game.
Maybe they just look different. Yeah, they kind of look like quick shooters, I think.
Yeah.
They're not quick shooters.
What's also pretty dumb, I was like, well, you in the first game, you get these guns that apparently have an emotional value to him because he kept them, and they break like 2 minutes later.
Yeah.
Also, can guns blow up in Call of Juarez 2?
I've never had that happen.
Well, me neither. But I remember in the first game, because I played it recently, they would just blow up in your face.
Terrible.
It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But this one doesn't have it. The only difference, really, is for some reason, with newer guns, you can reload them faster, they can be more powerful, and have more range.
Yeah.
That's the only difference, I guess.
They just shoot faster as well.
Yeah.
So that's a good difference. But yeah, I've never had any of those guns blow up or wear out. Maybe if you just play the whole game with the rusty gun you get in the beginning, but...
Maybe. I have never seen it happen.
Oh. It's like as soon as you have enough money, you buy the next one and the next one, and they never blow up.
Hmm. So, what I really liked about Call of Juarez, that it's like 2 gigs or 3 gigs instead of like the normal 10.
Yeah.
What's
ridiculous sizes.
Yeah. You know, part of that is that I'm playing Oblivion again, and I had this strange idea. I'm going to steal Ray's hat from Call of Juarez, and I'm going to put it in Oblivion. But for some reason, the Techland guys are dicks and are like, no, we're not going to give you a mesh importer. So there's no way to do that. But textures you can steal, well, use. But for some reason... And you can actually see it in the game, but you won't notice it, is that the base texture of Ray's hand is like 128 pixels by 128 pixels.
Really?
It's really low res. It looks so fancy because of all those fancy new shader shit they're using.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the reason why it's so small.
Yeah, probably. Must be a shit ton of normal mapping and shaders on there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it looks pretty high res.
It looks... To be honest, I think this is one of the maybe best-looking games I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, definitely. The way they act and how the character models are set up and that rain shader that you have in the showdown when you're escaping the town.
That looks so awesome.
Rain shader is better than Crysis.
I didn't play Crysis, so I wouldn't know. But I'm willing to bet, because it looks really awesome.
Telling you. Yeah. We should get a screenshot for that for the show notes.
Definitely. But you should see it moving. So.
Yeah. Maybe you should make a GIF or something.
Mm-hmm. So that looks really cool. Yeah, also, one of the things that's kind of crappy is the lip sync. It doesn't really look that...
Yeah,
but it's not just
opportunity.
Not really annoying
it's
or anything.
It's not terrible, but it's not great.
One of the awesome things about that, though, is that I figured out that it doesn't matter at all what they're saying, that lip sync will look good on anything. Because I saw the trailers they made, and you see them speaking, but it's totally not the line they're saying in the game.
Right.
You cannot see it. So it's really easy to make an awesome trailer because you don't need to re-lip sync this shit.
Yeah, right.
Because it's shit anyway.
Maybe they just put that in before they even had the voice acting in the lines.
Possible. But, I don't know. Looks really good.
Yeah, it's alright. Let's see. What else we got? They also have a new cover system here.
Yeah.
It sort of works automatically. What do you think about that?
It's good. It's just like, it's, I wouldn't say perfect, but it works well. it's not like it's like fucking you over at some parts, because I never had it that it like kicked in when I didn't want it to. And it feels a lot nicer than, say, Gears of War, that you suddenly switch to a third-person mode. This looks good and feels normal. It's like you can't see your enemies when you're behind cover. You need to lean out.
Yeah, it's real natural.
And shoot it.
Doesn't break the illusion of being in first person. And it's really easy to get in and out of. You don't have to press a button. You just walk up to a box or a corner and it automatically snaps on.
Yeah. And you use the mouse to like look around the corner
that's
over
awesome.
A box. It's pretty
cool. like a button where you snap out this preset angle and then snap back. It's just you can adjust your own angle. That's really cool.
Yeah. It gives some clipping error sometimes though. Your gun goes
through
the wall or I don't care. It's good.
It's fine. Yeah. It's cool how his arms move depending on what angle you're looking at. Like if you're behind a box and you're kind of peeking around the side, his left arm sort of slides out. If you're going over, one arm goes over the box.
Mm-hmm.
It's aware of its surroundings. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's done really nicely. But in multiplayer, it's complete shit. I haven't used it once in a multiplayer.
No?
And I've basically been playing Call of War as multiplayer all week, like last week.
Huh.
So, kind of.
I suppose when it's that hectic, you don't really have time to get in and out of cover and worry about how that works.
Also, in multiplayer, it looks strange, because in the single player, you have the feeling that your character's like only leaning out with his torso. But in the multiplayer, you actually see it, someone doing it. But instead of like seeing him lean like in, I don't know what game.
Some game with similar cover system.
Yeah, that you see someone, just their torso like peeking out. You actually see their entire body, like half of it, if they're looking around the corner.
Huh. So it's kind of dumb.
Yeah, that doesn't really work. So odd, but
so I haven't played a lot of the multiplayer. I just did the bank robbery mode with one other friend on Xbox the other day. But what's it like?
Awesome.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah, it's just most modes are totally awesome to play. Like, the bank robbery stuff is nice to do. But mostly we were playing deathmatch or team deathmatch.
Right.
And, I don't know, the classes feel really cool. You have, like, a guy which is has two quick shooters. You have a guy who has a sniper rifle and one ranger. You have shotgun and a ranger and a shitload of dynamite, and different classes like a duelist whose only weapon is a volcano gun. The spy who has a ladies' gun, which
is like Deus Ex.
Yeah, it was. That's the data link sound,
right?
Only a handful of people get that. But whatever. Like, the lady's gun is this small gun that only fires two bullets. But it has extreme range, and that guy has a shitload of dynamite, and is also really fast.
Awesome.
So, basically, the characters I always played was either the spy, which is insanely fast, or the hombre. And the hombre is a Mexican with two shot-off shotguns. And I can't explain how crazy fun that game is to play.
That's
because
great.
You hear a firefight like in the other part of town, and you just run there like with your two shotguns like flailing in the air. And you see two people fighting, and you're like, your hombre is also pretty fast. You just run in, come close, shoot one, and run away. And then the other guy's left there like, what
the hell?
And I don't know, the Hombre is just, I don't know, maybe he's overpowered, but it's so cool to play as an Hombre. It's just,
that's awesome.
Run in, shoot. Also, half of the time you're running after people. They're just like running down the street and you're running after them. For some reason they never look around. So you just, and other people see that and they're already laughing because, you know, you're following a guy for like 5 minutes. Or it's really funny. Just like a sniper rifle is there. And this is the fun part about, like, with the LAN party, because that's where I were. You just sneak up on someone, and you don't even use both your shotguns. You just take one, you aim at their face, and you say, psst. And then the guy across the room already knows. Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
And they turn around, and they get a shotgun to the face.
But awesome.
I don't know, you should play it. It's really fun to do.
Yeah. I should play it some more. I played Bank Robbery with one other guy. It's pretty nerve-wracking when you have this entire empty town and only one guy sneaking around somewhere.
That was really cool. We were with some, I don't know, 5, maybe 6 guys. And there's like one sniper, then there's me, it's an hombre. So there's 2 guys you need to watch out for, and then there's like cannon fodder around. But the sniper rifle guy was really good, and what really sucks is that you do not see snipers.
Yeah.
If they stand against the wall and they shoot you, you won't see them. Never. And it's not like they have a fancy like fading, opacity changing system, because he's supposed to be stealthy. No, you just don't see him. He's wearing like the Confederate Army suit, like the grayish one. You never,
it blends in.
It blends in so well, and I don't know why. You never see him. But that's
pretty cool.
Pretty awesome. Also, it's also nice that in the game you develop your own like mini games. So what we would do is like we all pick a character which has at least one pistol. And then we would duel, like, in the game itself.
Awesome.
So we would stand across from each other. We would point our guns at their faces. And then we would need to walk in a circle. Like, around each other. And then another person would shoot their gun. And we would need to kill the guy across you.
That's great.
That's pretty nerve-wracking and pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, because in the single player, you start to get a feel for when the bell starts to ring. You know exactly when you have to grab your gun and get ready.
Also, a word of advice. If you're pretty good at games, which doesn't really mean a lot, but I'd say play it on hard. I played it on medium, and it was too easy. Like, in the first showdown, I won easily because the guy sucks. It's like the first showdown.
Yeah.
In the second one, I died like a million times. And then I figured out, oh, you actually need to keep your hand almost on the gun and not grab it, like, from where the hand is, whatever, like 10 million so miles away.
It takes forever to get there.
Yeah, so that's why I always lost.
Right.
And eventually, when you get that, every single showdown, you kill him.
Yes.
You kill him, like, instantly.
Yeah.
So, even the last boss, I think.
Yeah.
Or maybe in 1 or 2 tries, because he was really fast. And 1 second, I'm going to get my phone.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because with this new system, it actually takes some skill to do the showdown. Because you have to keep your hand right on top of your gun. If you go too far, your hand goes all the way out again, and if you do nothing, your hand just slowly goes out of range again.
Yeah. And so compared to the first game, this one is a lot cooler. But in the first game, it was, to my experience, a lot harder. Because your crosshair would go like all across the screen.
Yeah.
And this is like,
this one just goes up automatically.
Yeah. And for some reason, every time I shot someone, I shot him in the crotch.
Yeah, me too.
Because that's always where the crosshair,
that's
like
the first place the crosshair gets. Yeah.
Yeah. So Even in their trailers, they show people being shot in the crotch.
Yeah.
I've only had a couple of times where I hit him in the heart or somewhere. Somewhere normal. It was pretty weird. But
yeah.
I guess that's normal. And for some reason, they fall down, like, immediately. They can't take a hit.
Flap.
Yeah. But then again, good enough. It's cool.
In the beginning, I was playing it downstairs, and I didn't have a good mouse mat or an even surface where I could put the mouse on. So I just had a little folder under my mouse, and you know the tracking wasn't the best. So I had a really hard time getting the hand to the gun. And on one occasion, actually, when I moved the mouse to the left to get close to the gun, the arm actually went up till his hand was like under his armpit, and I was like, "No, go down! What are you doing?"
Also, did you have some time that you actually grabbed the gun prematurely?
Yeah, once.
And then he likes does this.
Yeah, he goes like the school teacher symbol. He goes like, no, not.
And with
not
his finger, like, no.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really cool touch.
Yeah, that's funny.
Well, what else is there to say? Voice acting,
let's see.
Awesome.
Really
syncing,
yeah.
Visuals, stunning.
I really like the back and forth banter between Ray and Thomas all the time.
Yeah, it could have had some more lines, because sometimes it would get repetitive.
After a while, it starts repeating itself. Yeah. But
watch and learn, little brother. I've learned that you're one irritating asshole.
It's just comments like that all the time. It really adds to the atmosphere. It's really cool.
Yeah, I love that.
You got little taunts back and forth, and just the way they play off of each other is really good. Really well written.
Yeah. And so, I forgot.
All right. Let's see. Just not really a lot. That wasn't good, actually.
No,
I had sometimes, but maybe that's just because I recognize level design more now that I've studied game design. I had a few moments where I was like, oh yeah, this is the arena, and the moment I step in here, guys are going to spawn over there, and they're going to come over here.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit behind that crate. And you could kind of tell where they're going to come from. But
it's true.
Yeah. But I kind of had the feeling that in the first game it was like a little more open, or at least, you know, the enemies were already there in the level. They didn't spawn progressively as you went through, so you could kind of sneak up on them and see them from a long distance. You can't really do that here.
That's true, but I played Call of Juarez again like in the weekend after I finished the second game. And, like, in the first map, or maybe the second, when you're playing Billy and you need to run away from the town, I was actually sneaking backwards, looking at the town, and suddenly, like, three enemies just spawn, literally, in front of my face, like, fall to the ground.
Oh, jeez.
I was like, what?
That's pretty bad.
That was pretty terrible. But
yeah. At least here they cover it up behind walls and around corners and stuff.
Yeah. It's, I don't know.
None
of that stuff annoyed me to a level that I was like, okay, I'm going to stop playing this game now.
No. It was like just at the point where it got like, oh, again, another arena. I'm going to see you exactly where they're going to spawn. And then they change it up with like an open world level or something. Or they just do something else for a moment. And it just works out.
Yeah, always feels good, natural.
Yeah, it's always balanced.
Nice. Yeah. So, any other aspects we need to touch?
No, I think we pretty much ran it into the ground.
Yeah, it's just awesome game.
It's amazing. Yeah. Go play it.
Go buy it. Game of 2009.
So far, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, not sure what else is going to be around in 2009. Most of the stuff seems to come out in 2010.
Yeah, A lot of the big titles like BioShock and Mafia 2 and everything have been delayed. So
yeah.
It's too bad.
Kind of sucks.
I think Splinter Cell Conviction is still coming out this fall, though.
Well, that's good.
That's going to be good. And I think Assassin's Creed 2 as well.
Meh.
Well, sorry. Maybe one or two other games. I don't know.
No.
Not a lot.
So yeah, let's wrap up Call of Juarez. I'd say play the game. It's awesome. And
yeah.
It's great. Done.
It good.
So
and
since yesterday, I've played a bit of the new Monkey Island.
Oh yeah.
The one by Telltale Games. And so far, pretty good. I like it.
Yeah. Is that those new episodes, or is that the Monkey Island 1 special edition?
It's the new one.
Because there's like two separate things.
Yeah.
I think LucasArts remade the first one with the shiny graphics.
Mm-hmm.
And then Telltale is doing those real 3D episodes.
Yeah, I played them both, by the way.
Okay.
Partly. First one, or the original one, the remake, it's pretty good, actually. It's pretty...
Yeah.
It's nice voice acting, and it also feels kind of the same, although the walking system feels really dumb and clunky now. It's like really sliding across the room. I guess that's partly because it's running on the same engine. Well, probably not. But there's also like a hot swap mode. You can press F10 and then it switches from the new graphics and new sounds, music, speech to the complete original one.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like on the fly. In mid-sentence, you can switch.
That's great.
And it's really nice to like see the difference.
Yeah.
On the spot.
If you can really compare it like that, that's awesome. I'm going to have to check that out.
Totally. Although, it is like 1.5 gigs.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's pretty daunting for an adventure game. But, well, for voice acting, it's worth it.
True.
It's like so much better.
It's like 800 MB. I checked. 800 MB of just voice.
Yeah.
It's pretty big.
It's pretty much for every adventure game. I think Broken Sword is like, if you strip out all the voice acting, it's instead of 1.5 gig, it's like 200 MB.
True. But back then, I guess all of that was uncompressed audio.
Yeah, it's true. They were all WAV files.
By the way, I've also been playing Strong Bad's cool game for attractive people.
Oh, yeah.
And they are using some kind of codec that sucks dick. Voice acting sounds so watery and dumb that it's like, ah, Jesus. It sounds fine if I play it actually on my laptop's normal speakers. But when I use proper sound, like my headset or my normal speakers, it sounds like complete shit.
Huh, that's weird.
I'm not really a fan of the codec Telltale Games was using there. But in the new Monkey Island, it's...
It's better?
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds sounds normal. It sounds fine.
Never noticed that, actually. I've played Sam and Max and the Wallace and Gromit one.
Yeah, maybe it's just Strong Bad.
Yeah, maybe it's just a little slip-up, no bug.
Maybe.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'll look into that Monkey Island then, the special edition. Maybe I'll finally be able to finish it now.
I've never finished that game.
No, me neither. I got all three at the same time, and of course you play part 3 first then, with the good graphics and the voice acting and everything.
Yeah.
It's hard to go back to 1.
I mean, I was 1 year old when that game came out.
Yeah.
So, that's... No, I didn't play it.
No.
It's like in the time that I played the Dig and full throttle.
Yeah.
With the complete voice acting and that stuff, so that game was a bit too old and ugly and meh.
Yeah, it's deco. So this is a good opportunity to revisit that look.
Exactly, and I think they might have a winner. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Alright, well, shall we wrap up this week's episode then?
I guess so. Do we have any ideas for next week?
We still got Far Cry 2 lying around. Maybe we could...
That's true.
Discuss Fallout 3. Played a good bit of that the past week.
Possible?
If you can remember that.
Yeah, I do. But I'm probably going to play that again, though. I'm probably going to mod it to shit. Just like I did Oblivion. By the way, did you know that my Oblivion folder currently is... Let's see. Properties. Alright, now it's calculating.
Gonna take a while.
20.4 gigs.
20? What?
Yes.
Did you install it 3 times? What? How does that happen?
A shitload of mods and... Mods? And texture packs.
Texture packs quickly add up.
But we pushed the engine to its limits, because using the real high definition texture pack, you are unable to play that game on any machine ever. Seriously, a friend of mine has got like this insane system, and it runs like shit. It's impossible. So the engine just buckles and dies under the load of that stuff.
Most of the textures default are pretty low res.
Yeah.
But I think they make them like 2048x2048. It's ridiculous sizes.
Yep. So now it looks good. Plays good. Still got a lot of bugs, but I can work around them. So I'm revisiting that game. But then again, that's the first game we talked about ever.
Yeah, I think that was the first episode of the Dinocast.
Yeah.
Maybe the second. I think the third episode of Dinocast, or maybe the fourth, was the original Call of Juarez.
That's true. I might listen to that again.
Yeah, see what we had to say.
What we had to say, yeah. Cause
the third one was Deus Ex, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, well, whatever. Good times. Yeah. Back in the day. So, next week, maybe.
Maybe next week. Maybe next month. Who knows?
Maybe. Probably next week. Let's say that again. So, whatever. We're done.
Yep. Let's close this one out. Alright. See you guys. Next show.
Do it quietly. Right.